This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
To play for an expat who's sitting in 4 degrees Celsius weather and has now been dancing around the living room just trying to get warm. That was Bernice and yay. And hello, yay, Professor Dion Forster. Hope you're doing well out there in Amsterdam. Good morning.
Yeah. And Brad, I see the temperature gauge dropping.
Oh, yeah.
I see by Sunday it's -3 again, but we've had absolutely beautiful weather, you know, these sort of crisp, clear days after almost a month of impenetrable fog and rain.
Goodness.
So I can begin to feel the promise of spring somewhere in the air.
It must be there. We've got to go and look for it. It's one of those things. There must be something positive here somewhere.
Absolutely.
Dion, it's always good to connect. And when we get to speak about stuff like this, it gets me excited. So yesterday on the show, we were chatting specifically around being at peace because we have faith in who God is. And because of that, only because of that in His grace, we can have peace. And of course, peace with Him. But the peace is not only between us and God that we need to establish so that that can give us peace in our day-to-day experience of life on earth, but we also need to carry that peace out into the relationships we form and even in our day-to-day activities with people that we do not even know. Maybe those are the moments we really need to be peaceable.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Brad. Yesterday I had the privilege of participating in a panel in The Hague on peace and security and polarization. And one of the persons who asked the question in the workshop that we were running, raised a point. So the former premier or prime minister of the Netherlands is now the president of NATO, the North American Trade Organization, which is a very important sort of political construction that keeps the Western world safe. So it's this sort of agreement between a number of Western nations, including the United States of America, to keep the sort of Western world from being at war and going to war. So, of course, you know, the one agreement is that the members themselves won't go to war with each other. But also if there are aggressors, like, for example, Russia currently in the Ukraine, that they will stand together to protect one another's borders. And, Mark Rutte, who I mentioned a moment ago, in a recent TV interview said, you know, he thinks that the citizens of Europe should begin to prepare themselves emotionally and mentally for the possibility of war. Now, you can imagine when the head of NATO says something like that, oh, my goodness, you know, people, you know, they lost their heads. You know, they thought, what on earth if the head of NATO is saying that? Now, of course, you know, I think it was, more of a sort of a extreme cautionary comment. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that if your entire security is based upon the security that comes from sort of military might or political might, I think there is reason to be concerned.
Yeah.
And this got me thinking a great deal. You know, yesterday's audience was obviously a completely secular audience. And, so I spent a bit of time unpacking ways in which, we can be peacemakers in our communities and how we can deal with polarization between different groups. But I was struck when I left there yesterday just with the sense that for those of us who have Christ as our Lord and King, whose God is the God of the whole universe, we have this extra promise, this extra gift that comes to us, that we're not alone in the world. And so, I was struck again by that passage, which, you know, we've touched on before in Matthew chapter 5. It's verse 9. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is speaking about what does it mean to be happy or what does it mean to be blessed. Mm-hmm. And one of the phrases that he has is he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Now, it struck me again, you know, that when we read the scriptures, we need to read more than just the verse that we like. And I was thinking about this concept of peacemaking, and it reminded me also of Ephesians chapter 5. And together with a men's group that I'm a part of here in Amsterdam last week, Saturday, we were talking a little bit about Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Brad, you might know this, but the way in which the Bibles that we use today are subdivided, so chapters and verses, of course, that's not in the original Greek or Hebrew text. You know, that's something that the publishers added later on in the history of the Bible, so that sort of, you know, pericopes or passages would be grouped together. And very often when we read Ephesians chapter 5, we begin at verse 21, you know, which actually, sorry, we begin at verse 22, which says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." But we forget somehow verse 21, which says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And then, of course, that passage goes on. It speaks about wives and husbands. And eventually it gets to the part of children in Ephesians chapter 6, obey your parents. But then goes on to say, you know, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training of the Lord and his instruction, verse 4. So, Brad, this thing struck me yesterday as I was traveling back on the train. You know, peace begins first of all, in our hearts. You know, true peace in the world is not dependent on the circumstances around us. We know of so many people who have lived with absolute peace, even in the midst of very difficult and harsh circumstances. Why? Because their peace comes from the Lord. Their faith is not built in a political or a material institution, but it is based in the Lord. But the second thing is, you know, very often we experience and live peace because we created with those who are closest to us. So Megan and I celebrated 31 years of marriage yesterday.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
It's such a blessing, let me tell you. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and just in relation to Ephesians chapter 5, you know, so much of the joy in our lives has come because the two of us love one another. And we want to live together in peace. You know, we don't want to compete with each other. We don't want one of us to win and the other to lose. You know, when we hit an obstacle, you know, Megan doesn't see me as her enemy that has to be defeated. Rather, what we say is, no, here we've got a difficulty that we have to deal with. Let's stand together side by side and say, okay, how can we address this thing that's stopping us from living together in love and peace? So, Brad, I think, you know, what I would like to encourage myself with this week, and maybe for some of our listeners, is to say, blessed are the peacemakers. And where is there in your life that you can make peace? Because it will lead to blessing. You will be blessed. That's God's way. That's the grain of the universe God has created, to live in peace. And we have that added promise that when we are peacemakers, we will be called daughters and sons of God. So just a little invitation to those who are listening today to say, where is there conflict in your life? And what is there that you can do to be a maker of peace? I want to add one small caveat, Brad. There are instances in which peacemaking is tough work.
Yes.
You know, I remember some years ago working with a group of young activists, part of the Landless Peoples Movement in Cape Town, and one of them saying to me, "Dion, I want to be reconciled, but I'm not willing to be reconciled with injustice." And I think there's truth in that. You know, the gospel of Christ sometimes requires that for peace to happen, we need to seek justice. And that's the sort of slower way around that we get to it. It makes it more sustainable, more real. But I want to say to our listeners today, don't give up on peace. Be peacemakers in your marriages, with your children, with your neighbors, in your communities, in our country, in our world, because then we will be known as children of God.
And we love that. A quick question to you before we greet one another. As we make our way through Ephesians 5 into Ephesians 6, where we're really given these instructions of how we ought to live and how we ought to be peaceable with the people around us, it runs so smoothly into verse 10 that talks about putting on the full armor of God. So, does this kind of give us a glimpse into the fact that it isn't necessarily always easy, it can't be driven by emotion, but has to be an actual choice. And then that we also have God and His Word and the Holy Spirit to guide us to be able to do this that He's called us to do?
Absolutely, Brad. You know, and that's been, I think, a consistent theme that you and I have touched on over the years. You know, what we do in our public lives, what we do visibly in the world, is absolutely shaped by what happens in the prayer closet, what happens in our hearts, in those unseen places. You know, I remember Nicky Gumbel once using this illustration to say, you know, the only way that a yacht is able to capture the wind and sail at high speed in the seas because it has a very, very deep keel, a deep rudder underneath in the water that, you know, that keeps it going. And I have a sense that this kind of spiritual equipping, the armor of God, you know, the sword of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, you know, all of these things are how we equip ourselves in the quiet place, in the spiritual realm, for what we face in our public lives.
Yeah, you can't run on empty, I guess. You can't go out there in the world to make a true difference and be a true follower and a true peacemaker if you're running on empty. Dion, thank you so much, as always, for your time. Again, congratulations on that wonderful milestone in the life of you and Megan. And thanks for taking time out on a chilly morning to be able to hang out with us. We value you so much. Massive thanks from all of us.
Thanks, Brad. Blessings to you and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Dion, and to you. And taking us to our final traffic bulletin.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.